Hey, you, wake up. It's Saturday morning and it's time to jump on that to-do list. But that home improvement project doesn't have to be a chore. Before you jump in, tune in here to About Your House to listen and learn from the most experienced and reputable contractors and service providers in the industry. On today's show, we have Paul Kowalski of Paul Kowalski Builders. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us as we spread a little love. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Get wet this week. Lord have mercy, it rained. We talk a lot about water on this show and the devastating effects it can bring. It brought the fury this week, no question about it. My warehouse was flooded. Not flooded like deep, deep flooded, and I had to walk around with boots on, but it was flooded. Got real wet. And I know a lot of you folks out there had water issues. I know there was flooding. I know, and I will share stories if you want to. And if you want to call and share one, love to hear it. 704-227-8986. That's our phone number. We got a lot to talk about today. Every Saturday, we got a lot to talk about. Man, you can just talk. But and as far as the weather goes, that's out of here. Looking ahead next week, Lord of mercy, not going to get out of the 80s. Hallelujah. Going to have a little cold break here. A few showers around next week, but mostly throughout the 80s, from lower 80s all the way up to 89. But 88. No 90-degree temps in forecast for next week. Yeah, love it. Hope everybody had a great week. I got my guest today, Paul Kowalski Builders. Paul's in the house, not the builders.
Not all of us, no.
Although he's a builder, but he's a licensed North and South Carolina.
That is correct.
General contractor.
Yes, sir.
And Paul he's a contractor. He's about as close to a general contractor overall as I've met lately. He does not only, you'll build a house, won't you?
Yeah, we'll build a house. Our primary function, what we do for our clients is residential remodel. So we're taking an existing home,
right,
and creating it for a new space for them.
Turning dreams into realities.
That's right. That's right. Building dreams and fixing nightmares, Ray. That's what we do.
There you go. Problem solvers. You know, remodeling. I'm a remodeler at heart, in spirit and soul. I'm a remodeler to the core. I believe in fixing things, repairing things. And when you're a remodeler, that's what you do, but you're doing it to houses and dwellings for people. And what's fun about, you know, I had to give a talk one time to a bunch of teachers, educators, at a conference in Greensboro. And my topic was, what's the difference between remodeling and new construction? Mm. And, you know, and when I told the guy what my topic, because he said, what are you going to talk about? I said, what do you want me to talk about? He said, I don't know. He said, something to do with what you do. I said, okay. And being a remodeler and having worked in my roots, new construction, there's a tremendous difference in remodeling and new construction. Tremendous. And it's more on the artistic side. Yeah. It's more on the personality side because you've got to develop relationships with homeowners. So really the bottom line is, what's the largest difference? Ain't nobody living in a new construction house.
Not in Charlotte, it seems, right?
No, but typically in remodeling, 90% of the time, and you can help me here,
yeah,
they're going to live in that house.
That's correct. You know, and for some of our remodels, they're a little bit bigger. They're going to move out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But
here in Charlotte lately, a lot of that's going on.
Ray, I got to say, you know, thinking about that, planning is a big piece.
We talk about that a lot.
Yeah, and in remodeling, if you don't have a good plan, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Well, that's construction in general, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
If you don't have a good plan, you hit the nail on the head.
I'll say this in remodeling, though. I think the stakes are higher, right? The emotions are higher. You have the gift of being in somebody's home, and working for them. It's very personal, right? In a new construction, they're not in there yet. They don't have those emotional attachments. That's not where they lay their head or where they cook.
They don't leave in the morning to go to work from there. Their life is around that home. They come home at 5 o'clock. You're remodeling in it all day and working on it all day. They come home. We're out of there at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're swept, cleaned up, neat looking, corded it off, you know, everything's done, and we're out. Because when they come home, I want them to have it as nice as they could, because we done messed up everything in the house.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's true. If you can be, you know, if they give you permission to do otherwise, you know, you can do that if you're trying to get ahead a couple days or so. And some homeowners are fine with that.
Or weekend work. Yeah. But see, I didn't want my guys to work weekends.
It's
go home. Yeah. Be with your family.
It's scary for me. You know, you're on call when you're working on the weekends, and that's what I tell my field supervisors.
I got a quick story.
Yeah.
About that. This is a great example. So when Paul or any professional says no weekend work in this house, I told a tile guy one time. He was scheduled for Wednesday. Wednesday comes, Wednesday goes. No tile guy. Called him up. Man, I'm sorry I got behind. I says, no, you're telling me what you think I want to hear. When can you do my shower? Now, look, I don't want you in that house after hours on weekends. Well, Ray, the only time I can do it is Saturday. I can't get in there until Saturday. I said, when you're in that house, I'm on call. I'm working. And I'm telling you, you're going to have issues if you're working in that house on Saturday. Well, man, it's the only thing I can do. So I called the homeowner, told him and everything. Sure enough, he's a drinker.
Mm.
And he got to drinking. And the tile guy calls me and tells me there's issues. I said, yeah, there's issues. It started Wednesday when you didn't show up.
Yeah, there you go.
You're the issue here. He lives in that house. You're just visiting. And you weren't supposed to be there today. The moral to the story is, get your crap together, boy, on your schedules.
It's true. It's true.
Because those homeowners, that's their house. You should not be there. And as I share this, I share it to you for a reason, because hopefully we can teach you something on this radio show. Because when it comes to mistakes, I think I've made them all.
Yeah.
And I'll continue to make a few, because you know what you do when you make a mistake? Hopefully you learn. Yep. And if you don't learn, you're really a stupid person.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
So I'm originally from New Jersey, and then came to the Carolinas, went to the University of South Carolina.
Right.
Originally, and then...
So that's when you tippy-toed down south.
That's exactly right. I followed my sister. She was the trailblazer of the family.
How old are you?
So I am 49 years old.
Got you. Pushing the big 50.
Oh, yeah. We're knocking on the door, waiting for November.
Cool.
Should be a good
Actually,
part.
You're in your 50th year.
You're true. Truly, yes. Right.
You're working on clicking them days off.
That's right. It feels like it.
Yeah. Well, 50's a great year.
Yeah, no.
Well, good. All right. So you came down south to go to college.
To go to college. That's right.
At the young age of what?
I went to a community college in New Jersey.
Okay.
And I was 19 years old?
Okay.
And then finished up my schooling at the University of South Carolina. Go in, Gamecocks.
In yeah. what?
Marketing and management.
Okay. That's not bad. Not yeah. bad. If yeah. you got to go to college, that's pretty good generic way to go, because right. give you a little background in business.
Business school. Yeah.
Yeah, business.
Yeah, yeah.
The one weakness that a lot of us share in the construction industry yeah. is the business side of it. So that was good for you.
Yeah, no, it really was. It really was.
Where'd you get into construction?
That's a great question. So I'll just say this. I've always been mechanically inclined, right? And, I listen to this program, and I hear you talk about tools in schools and kids working with their hands and being busy. I was not a model student in high school. I'll share that with you. Yeah.
What the heck is a model student? You don't have to answer that. I think we all know what the answer
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's model students, according to the broken educational system, I might add. And I might get a little ramped up on that because of some events I attended to this week. So go ahead.
Yeah, no. So I've always been mechanically inclined, but I felt like what I had to do was go to college. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't take any of that back. I learned a lot. I made had great relationships.
Oh,
I've created.
It's beneficial in so many life ways.
Yes.
Can be.
Yes, and it was for me.
Good.
And it really was for me. So, but I always had a knack for, when I was young, I was into my father's, I hear tools from schools. I had tools at home.
Sure.
And, I'd break stuff, sometimes fix stuff.
How many, you got siblings?
I have an older sister. Yeah.
Okay,
she's six
cool.
years older.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're fine. You're fine. And her stuff was some of the stuff I was breaking and trying to fix. But anyway, I've always been mechanically inclined. And, once I left school, I worked for Sherwin-Williams paint store.
Cool.
Yeah. And
biggest on the planet.
That's right. They're painting the earth. Yeah.
Nowadays, it's the largest conglomerate company in the painting sundries and industry there is.
Wow.
Just like Stanley Black & Decker in the tool sector.
How about that?
Well, I mean, these companies just gobble up all, like Minwax. They own it.
That's right. That's right.
Purdy Brushes.
Yep.
They own it. So on and on and on, but carry on.
Yeah.
You worked at Sherwin-Williams.
So, I worked there for 5 years. I was in the paint industry. I managed stores.
Oh, cool.
Learned a lot about customer service there.
Yes,
and a lot about
sir,
business.
I bet you did, because in paint, it's all about customer service.
That's right.
There's paint, and there's customer service.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it.
Yep, you got it right. You got it right.
Oh, I've spent many hours in paint store in my life. And that's something in remodeling that you do.
Yeah, yeah. So I went from Sherwin-Williams. While I was there, I met different home builders at the time. Late 90s, early 2000s. At that point, was selling a lot of product to new home builders. They were building a lot of new homes in Charlotte at that point.
So you got out of college. Let's back up here a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
You got out of college. You came to Charlotte?
Yeah, yeah.
Right out of college, you came to Charlotte.
I stayed in Columbia for about a half year after
gotcha.
I graduated.
Getting your toes wet.
That's right. My sister lived in York, South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And
right down the street.
That's right. She said, why don't you come up here? There's some good opportunities in Charlotte. Why don't you come up here? And so moved in with her for a little while, get my feet kind of solidified here.
You weren't married yet.
Weren't married. Young guy.
Single guy. Young guy.
That's right.
Right out of college.
That's right.
Cool.
And so
early 20s?
Early 20s.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. And got an opportunity with Sherwin-Williams. I was working a temporary job, and I was setting up a store. They were setting up a new store in the university area.
Cool.
And one of the young guys that was there said, hey, I'm in this management trainee program. You might be interested in this. And so checked it out. That was my pathway. I was an assistant store manager after completing my training. And it was a really good training program they had there at Sherwin-Williams. I knew more about paint than I ever thought I would know doing that, but a lot about customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know they train well. We had an autistic gentleman come in here, and great guy, brilliant, as a lot of autistic people are, brilliant, very intelligent. He came on the show, and he now has a job at Sherwin-Williams and loves it.
Yeah. It's a great place. But the jump from Sherwin-Williams, really, that's what led me into this industry. So that's where I got into new construction. I had an opportunity to work with a fantastic, well, first of all, we were selling a lot of paint to builders, talking with builders. And one of the builders said, hey, Paul, you might be interested in this, you know, and I'd been with the Sherwin-Williams for about 5 years, and I don't know, I think I was itching for something different. The idea of being
throw this one in there. Here you are in your mid-20s, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're growing.
Yeah.
You're learning. Eyes wide open.
Oh, yeah.
And here comes another opportunity in the door in your mid-20s.
Yeah.
And here you go. Keep talking.
Yeah. So,
I love it.
Yeah, mid to late 20s, got an opportunity to work with the builder, kind of scratched the itch to, you know, watch stuff come together, problem solve. It was exciting to me. You know, there was a lot of new homes going up, so I worked for a wonderful company, John Whelan Homes and Neighborhoods, based out of Atlanta, had an operation here in Charlotte, and had an opportunity to become what they called a finish manager. Basically, we would take the houses from drywall and manage the process, all the trim outs, countertops, cabinets, really making sure that everything everybody saw, felt, and touched.
That's a great education.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that, really, because the hardest part of the jobs are the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Details.
Right. And how well it's done in the beginning or how well prepped out it is makes a large difference on how quickly you will finish and how the quality will come out as well. Otherwise, you fight it a little
right.
bit. Or there's rework, one of the two.
Oh, yeah. Redos, three times the money you just put into something. And you say three, not twice. Because when you're doing something over, you should be doing something else in that place. So it's a triple whammy. And believe me, as a professional remodeler who's lost a bunch of money, it sucks. We're going to take a break here. You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. I got Paul Kowalski in studio today. Brooke, one of his employees, is due in within the next minute or two. We'll talk to her as well, find out her position on the playing field. Much, much more here on About Your House. Come on back.
Robins and flowers. Sunshine caresses each new waking hour. It seems to me that people keep seeing more and more each day.
Gotta say,
lead the way.
It's okay.
When they gotta say, it's okay.
All right.
Hey, gotta say, lead the way.
All right, welcome back. Got Paul Kowalski in studio talking. Well, Paul Kowalski Builders, remodeler, builder, but primarily he likes to remodel. They like to remodel because, see, you can't do all this stuff by yourself anymore. Can't do it. Wish you could. You can go out and put up a TV or something, but you can't do everything by yourself. Can't do it. Can you?
It's very difficult. It's going to take you some time. Depends how much time you got, Ray, I guess, would be the answer to that.
You can do it. I did it for years, but believe me, you can't do it in Charlotte because you get too busy.
Yeah.
It takes a village.
If you're doing something right.
Right.
You'll be busy.
Right.
Yeah.
Back to your story.
Yeah.
Okay, you went into paint business, and one day a contractor walked into the store or something, or?
Yeah, just a builder, you know, or we would go out to the homes, deliver paint, or check in on the jobs, or
sure,
troubleshoot a problem they're having with the product. And so you get to know your clients, and some of those were new home construction builders. Yeah.
Charlotte's got a lot of that.
Yeah.
And see what happened.
So the builder had asked me, hey, Paul, you might be interested in this. And as a matter of fact, he worked for Sherwin-Williams prior to.
I got
he
you.
He had left out and said, Paul, I know you. You may like this. And so he told me a little bit more about the position, and I was interested. I was real interested and took the leap.
Cool.
Took the next leap.
That's awesome.
Next opportunity.
So then what did you do there?
So, again, started off as a finish manager, which basically taking the homes once the drywall was installed, taking them from drywall all the way to handing over the key, so to speak, right?
Walking through the punch list.
That's right. Through the punch list. There you go. Hopefully a small one. If you get it right. Yeah.
Yep, hopefully.
Yeah.
Punch list time.
That's right.
How many times have I played that note?
That's right.
But so you got into building. How long were you there?
I was there for about 7 years, over 7 years.
Great education.
A super education.
I know.
Supported.
That's college right there, buddy.
Yeah, it was a graduate school for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Is what it was. I had the business background. And
sure.
This was real life, making it happen. It's on you.
You were taught customer service in the paint industry and then moved right into new home building and turning keys over to new homeowners and that relationship and that personality. And wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What an education.
Really cool. And
you're very fortunate.
I'd say so. Yeah. I feel that way.
Yeah.
I feel that way. I did a bunch of things within the building company, you know, finish manager, then started building from the ground up, putting the foundations in, learning about grade and, you know, setting up a foundation the right way.
And when you had to finish.
Yeah.
I'm reflecting here.
Okay.
You saw some things that resulted from the beginning portion, a lot of it. And
yes.
You knew once you got away from that, what to look for into this. Into the foundational aspects, because a house or anything else starts, or a life, your life, we all start at the foundation. If your foundation is not correct and well placed and thought out, nothing else will be. And that's a reality of life. Life is like building. If your foundation's bad, your life will probably be bad. And the most important foundational years of any child's life is the first two. I've lived life. I've watched it. I've lived in a lot of families, and it is a fact. If a child has a troubled first 2 years, his life will be more than likely troubled in some way as a result.
Wow.
It's a fact. But anyway, building, foundations.
Yeah.
Right? Foundation's not, but you saw a lot of that, I bet, didn't you?
Yeah. It was an interesting way to go about it. Maybe it was by design.
Yeah, it sounds pretty darn good to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So we saw it. Finished
yeah.
work. I worked warranty for a while, too. Just pure warranty. You want to talk about
prepping you
out to be a good builder.
Right.
Window flashing, door flashing.
Oh, yeah.
Details for
weather,
brick.
Water invasion.
Water, yes. Yes. Water.
You learn real quick what's the most important thing you're going to deal with. Water.
It's true.
After this week, if you ain't figured it out yet, last week was a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, your house will talk to you with water. I don't mean to go
sure
off on
will.
A tangent here, but, you know, you look up, if stuff's, you know, if you've got lines at the base of the foundation, look up at your gutters. I bet you they're pouring over.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And you know, talking about putting in foundations and making sure the grade's set up, you know, if you look at your house or you pull up to your driveway and you see that there is, the grade is sloping toward the house.
Issues. Immediately.
Exactly. Where's that
issues.
Water going?
Yeah.
And even if it's not on the surface, the hydrostatic pressure.
Sure.
Water runs, well, I think since the beginning of time.
Every
downhill.
Time. Without fail. And you'll never beat Mother Nature.
Mm-mm.
Nope. It'll beat you every time if you don't take care of it. But you can do that. Most important lesson anybody in construction needs to learn is taking care of Mother Nature.
That's right. Especially water.
Yeah. When I go do consulting work around houses, I'll walk around the whole house and look at the grades. Then I'll say, your problem's right here. I'll bet if I go under your house, I will go to this area of the house and I will see evidence of this low area right here in many ways. I'll never forget one down in Matthews. I said, well, here's your problem. Water's getting on the sidewalk running under your crawl, and I bet there's a river flowing right through the center of your crawl from one corner of your house to the other. And I'm going to go under the house. And I'm going to see. Sure enough, it's exactly. But there again, like you said, it'll talk to you.
Yeah.
All you got to do is pay attention.
Yep.
And last week, it was talking to you loud. I hope you listened.
So true. Yeah. So true. But, yeah.
So you did new home building.
Yeah. So, and put in foundations, did warranty.
That's a great education, Paul.
I
went basically the same way.
Okay.
Same thing, just a little different in timing-wise, but I did all of what you just said. And what an education. How fortunate, because you get to really see problems are the education in construction. Because,
yes.
If you don't fail, well, problems in construction are failing issues.
Yeah.
It wasn't done correctly. So, therefore, you've got aftermath. You got damage repair.
Control, sure, yeah.
Damage, just like men, when you get them upset, they react. And normally when they react, there's damage control. Same thing with construction.
That's a lot of life lessons going on today.
Yeah. Yes. Gotta learn, baby, gotta learn.
That's right.
But so you learned a great way, okay?
Yeah.
So you played that. How'd you jump the fence into the other pasture there?
So maybe I'll put me maybe not near a fence. I was probably on the edge of a pool, and I got nudged in 2008, 2009, right? So
what a time, because you just set the stage. 2008, the big housing crash, and it shifted things up, and you had to back up and punt.
That's right. So I thought I was going to be a builder forever, right? Just going to. Keep
but the economy changed
in.
It, didn't it?
Oh, yes, it did.
Yep.
Yeah, and we saw it coming, right?
Sure.
And,
to some degree,
at least from my seat, I saw the change happening.
Right.
I saw some good folks get let go. And at some point, I was worried, well, if we don't sell any more homes, you know, it might be my turn here soon. It's just math.
Writing's on the wall.
That's right. So
I've lived through five.
Okay.
Five recessions, but carry on because you're part of the story.
Yeah, yeah. No, so 2008, 2009 comes along. I see the writing on the wall. I started a little LLC in the background, just a shell, and said, well, if this happens, at least I got a fallback plan.
The entrepreneurship kicked in.
Yeah. And it was the 2008, 2009, why I said, you know, near a pool. That's what nudged me into the pool.
I hear you.
And then I had a choice to start swimming, and I did. And, so remodeling, I saw an opportunity there. Folks, you know, have expanding needs or still had expanding needs for their homes or their families and how they were going to live. And at the time, they were either underwater on their home or couldn't sell it for what they wanted to. I had a team of subcontractors and folks that I knew that were hungry for work because they weren't getting
sure.
it from the new.
That was a crash coming back out of it.
Correct. And yep. I could be part of the solution, right? And so that's what I saw. I saw a need for folks, and they could invest in their home during this recession, right? Because they couldn't just go buy another one
or build another one.
And
still
hey,
can't.
Right. And it's a unique interest rate situation now.
Right.
We can talk about that too. But back then it was, I see an opportunity here. I got great folks, high quality tradespeople, craftsmen ready to do stuff. And I've got homeowners with expanding needs. They can invest there in their home. When this thing recovers, they'll enjoy it for however long.
Sure.
And then you made an investment in your home and in your family at the same time. Right. And,
oh, no doubt about it. It was a great time to, you know, sit still, if you get my – not and create,
sure.
change.
Sure.
Mailed. And COVID, the pandemic, did the same thing, essentially, just in a different way.
It was a different type of reset, yeah.
It was a reset.
It gave a boost to remodeling.
Oh, to every – Charlotte.
Well, you put everybody in their home for days on end, and then how about it?
It changed the whole environment of living in Charlotte. Well, everywhere, actually, not just Charlotte, everywhere. And the whole paradigm – there was a tremendous paradigm shift. And it's still here in a lot of those ways.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, so you jumped in it after 2008, 2009, got to remodeling.
That's right. That's right. I saw an opportunity and then began to build the business, right? And then that education that I probably had 10 years before that had an opportunity to come through, right? Run a business. Exciting.
That's exciting. And then so you're off and running with, and what'd you name it, Paul Kowalski Builders?
It started off, I'll try not to go too long on this, but it started off, you know, I created an LLC. I came up with the name Fine Line Construction of the Carolinas. And
right.
Said, that's going to be, I thought ego, that was cool.
Ego cutting. How old were you then? 30?
Had to be in my mid-30s.
Mid-30s.
Yeah.
Ego time. And I say that because really around 40 years old, you was killing it then. Your head was big as Texas.
Maybe so.
Well, but and that's okay. That's a good thing because that's normal.
Yeah.
At least it should be.
Yeah.
You know, and there you go. Fine Line of the Carolina. I love it.
Yeah.
But didn't stick. But keep talking.
Yeah. So that, it didn't stick, and there's a reason why. So when you go to start your business, any future entrepreneurs out there, make sure you do your research. You check with the Secretary of State. You understand names that might be similar to your business, right? Because I didn't, talking about learning from mistakes.
Yeah, and copyright infringement and various other things.
And there was another company called Fine Line Construction, not of the Carolinas, so it was okay with the Secretary of State. Started down that business, and I was building my book of business, right, building my clients, working in some neighborhoods, and, you know, my name, they passed on the name Fine Line Construction of the Carolinas. Well, they reached out, and I had a client call me and say, hey, Paul, your salesman was here. And at the time, I didn't have a salesman on my – I was
no,
it.
I know what you're going to say here. Go ahead.
And he said, you know, this and that. And I said, well, I don't have – who was there? It wasn't me.
Right.
And this other fella. And then I found out, oh, my goodness, you know,
there's another name. There's
very
another company
similar.
Out there.
And,
yeah.
You know, my good work is benefiting him. And, well, hey, maybe I picked up some of his stuff, too. Who knows, right?
Who knows, yeah.
But at that point, I knew if I was going to grow this thing. And so first thing my brain went to was, well, I know a name that probably nobody else is going to choose. Paul Kowalski Builders.
Right.
Let's make it what it is. What is this, right?
Right. It's your own it.
I own it. It's me, my heart, my soul,
right.
My sweat, my tears, my blood is in this thing. Let's call it what it is. Paul Kowalski Builders. And I'll never have to worry about anybody copying that. I don't believe.
Nope. I think you say it. Okay, let's back up here. You picked up a wife somewhere along the way.
That is true.
When did that happen?
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, we're going to get into history. I need to know the whole picture.
Oh, boy. Yeah, around 05, 06.
Oh, so she was grunting with you 2008.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we had, so 2008, our son was born.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so talk about that. Like, hey, you don't have your builder job anymore. What are you going to do? This is a good story. Ray, I'm glad you brought this up. And well, hopefully,
family's what it's about, brother.
That's right.
That really has an impact. And we went through this story about your career, but where's the wife come in at?
That's right. So we met through mutual friends here in Charlotte, started dating, and
sure,
you know, one thing led to another. We said, we're right for each other. We love each other. Let's get married. And we did. You know, real interesting in 2008 when that happened, it was, she was working at the time at a local paper doing sales. And for me, it was dual income, just had the baby, Andrew, my son, in 2008. And then this news comes along that, hey, you're no longer going to be employed. We're not selling enough homes. And that was scary. And I'll shorten this up just a little bit, but, you know, Kathy asked, you know, hey, what you're going to do this remodeling? How is this going to pay the bills? You know, and it's a real question. And,
yeah.
And it forced me into a situation where, you know, is this really going to work, Paul? You know, are you just, you know, you're scared? And I was too, a little bit, being honest, right?
Fear, yeah. Oh, I've talked to many young men and women about business. I've talked a lot of them into it, and every one of them were scared. So it's very common. And I mean, here you got a baby, newlywed, really, too.
Yeah.
Just getting cranking here, and pow! Somebody hits you in the gut with, you ain't working no more. But see, you became resourceful. You became more mature, more responsible, and look at you.
Yeah.
It all worked out. And you had the support of your wife.
So I'll talk a little bit about that. There was, you know, doubt within me. She obviously had some doubt. And I'll tell you what.
It was scary.
It was scary, but it was a great motivator. And it caused me to do something that set me up. And it's probably why I'm sitting here talking to you today and have done the things that I've done. I knew I had to, well, maybe not sell her on it. But convince, and part of the exercise was convincing myself.
Exactly. That was a big growth period.
Right. Yeah. So I had to put a business plan together. I went to SCORE, which is part of the SBA,
mm-hmm.
and these are mostly retired professionals that donate their time to to entrepreneurs.
Mentoring.
Mentoring.
What, yes.
So went to see the folks at SCORE and talked to them about, hey, I want to start this business. I want to do this the right way. And they mentored me through. They gave me a template for a business plan. They talked to me about the market. They said, does this, you know, and it really forced me to think critically about what is it? How am I going to do this? How am I going to make this successful? What is the market for this, right? And what? How are you going to service this? And that opportunity was really important. And anyhow,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to distract you.
No, that's fine. But once I got to do that, that exercise was the, we talked about foundations, was the foundation for my success. And I presented that business plan to my one board of directors, Kathy, my wife,
yes,
and be able to share with her
your vision.
Honey, here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to make this happen. And she said, Paul, this makes sense. This looks right. I support you. Go get it.
Get her done.
That's right.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does take a family, and it's scary. But you got to say, but that fear was the motivator.
It can be, and, you know, and to defeat the fear, because the fear will get in your way if you let it.
Yeah.
And you didn't. And you surpassed it and went beyond that.
Well, yeah.
And that's awesome. Okay, so now you're remodeling.
Yeah.
And that was when, again, 2009?
Yeah, right in there.
In the transition. Let's just call it 2008.
Sure.
So you're remodeling.
Yeah.
And so you're off and running, and apparently you did pretty well with that. Once you got Paul Kowalski Builders under your hat, it was just, all right. You started growing. Mm. You know, it was just you. Then you start. When did you get involved with NARI?
So I got involved with NARI about 5 years ago. So a little bit later after I was doing this, NARI, great organization. I sit on the board now. I've helped out.
You're a past president too, aren't you?
No, not a past president. I'm working my way there. I'm a treasurer now.
Oh, okay.
I was secretary, treasurer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand how it goes.
Yeah. So working my way there.
I was involved. That was my life for 18 years. So, NARI, and I'm going to bring this into fold, too.
Yeah.
At 5 years, you've won some Cody Awards. Now they're called Roadies, Remodeler of the Year Awards.
Right.
And you've won several awards with that, haven't you?
Yeah, sure have. Yeah. Several.
All right, we got to take a break. We're going to talk more about Paul's. We're going to talk about remodeling, what remodeling is, and I think you got Brooke.
Brooke, yeah.
She hadn't called you yet?
I think she probably texted, but I'm busy talking, so she did text me. She is...
Okay, we'll go get her downstairs, bring her into the studio, and get with it.
All right.
You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Stream us live. There is no more radio. YouTube Live. Facebook Live. How y'all doing? Right now on About Your House Radio's page. Tune in, turn on, and come on back. We'll talk more to Paul Kowalski and Brooke, what it's all about in the professional remodeling world. Welcome back. You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. I got Paul Kowalski in the house, Paul Kowalski Builders, remodeling contractor, builder, general contractor. He'd probably build it if you want it. So there you go. And we have one of his employees, I do believe. Introduce her, Paul.
Yeah, so we've got Brooke Hospelhorn here. She's a newer employee.
Hospelhorn.
Yes.
Say that for me again.
Hospelhorn.
Where is that from?
It is German.
I knew you'd know.
Yeah.
Hospelhorn.
Yep.
Cool. Keep talking. I'm sorry. I like names. That's why.
Yeah. So Brooke's working with us, helping out with design, interior design, and selection of materials. We call that position the project outfitter.
All right. Yeah. Where'd you find her?
We found her through Indeed, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, see, I'm asking because Brooke is only 22 years old. Right?
I'm 21.
Oh, 21.
No.
Sorry, Brooke. I made you older. You're in your 22nd year, though.
That's right, yes. Paul. You yeah. didn't know. But, no, you're 21. Okay. Yep. So you're 21 years old. Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Iowa.
Iowa. Mm-hmm. They grow a lot of corn in Iowa.
Yes, they
I drove in Iowa one time.
Yeah.
Corn, corn, corn. But anyway, anyway, you're from Iowa. How'd you get Charlotte?
My mom's job. She works in healthcare, and we were recruited out here about 10 years ago.
Okay, so you kind of grew up your latter years in Charlotte.
Yep,
Where'd
I spent middle school and high school here. Parkwood High School in Union County.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
But we were at Parkwood Trades Career Day last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, matter of fact, I went to an event at Parkwood about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you went to Parkwood.
I did.
Okay, then what? What'd you do after high school?
I went to Central Piedmont Community College.
For what?
For interior design.
So you knew what you wanted to do in high school, even.
I did, yep.
You did. Now, did Parkwood have anything in that respect to kind of guide you in that pathway?
Yes, they did actually have interior design elective classes.
And so you took them?
I took both, yes. They had interior design 1 and interior design 2.
Now, I got to ask you. See, I love this. This is awesome. 21-year-old girl here just getting her feet in the ground good. Ready to go. We talked about this with you, Paul.
Yeah.
Now we go back to her at 21. All right. So you found her with Indeed.
Correct.
So you interviewed her and found out she was, and you like designing.
Yes.
Has she been in the field yet?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she's got a background, too.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. So
what it are, man? Tell me.
Yeah. So my dad owns a custom cabinetry company.
Oh wow.
So I did kitchen and bath design for him.
Oh wow.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. So you got great background.
Yep.
You worked in a cabinet shop.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, and work with people.
Yep.
That's great. You're lucky to find her.
Well, I do feel that way, right? You know, I do.
Yeah.
When I heard that, you know, that was her background. I mean, she's out sanding cabinets and helping with install, and you know, just like that finish manager position when I was building, she's seeing the finish work go in and troubleshooting, problem solving.
So you went to CPCC?
Yes.
For interior design class or associate's degree or whatever.
Yep.
Did you go there and finish the associates?
Yes, I do have my associates.
So you did that. How was that?
It was good.
I'm sharing your experience to listeners because CPCC is an awesome school.
Yes.
Now, the takeaway from CPCC, how beneficial was it to you?
I would say it's very beneficial. The schooling that you get there compared to a four-year degree is relatively the same. And the cost effectiveness of it is a lot better. And then also you get your associate's degree in 2 years. So, and a lot of companies will hire with a two-year degree.
I don't care anything about the degree part personally, okay? I know you do because we're in America and that status quo. And you're doing a good job speaking the status quo talk.
Yeah.
But that degree don't mean squat to me. What means most important to me is you and your happiness. Because you like it.
Yeah.
You have a passion for it, don't you?
I do.
And now what's your goal? You got any? 21-year-old?
Yeah, just to eventually either, you know, a lead interior designer or an architectural designer. There's a few different pathways that I would love to go down. So
follow your passion.
Yeah.
And don't worry about the rest because it'll take care of itself. And if you get a good employer like Paul Kowalski here, that's what you need. Because he's got his roots and he can give you his knowledge, and I'm happy for you. Are you like your job?
Yes.
Tell me what you do.
Yes. So
what do you do for Paul?
So I'm the project outfitter. So I am everything selections from hard surface selections. So I go out with clients. I go shopping with them, help them pick out materials, put together mood boards, enter data, that fun stuff. So
you're a planner.
Yes.
You're a very, very important part of the machine.
Yes.
Yes.
Probably one of the most important parts because planning. I'm going to tell you, Paul said it to begin with, without a plan, you're screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
You're flat out screwing up. And well, I've said this before, and Paul, you can concur, give me your take on it, but when you finish planning and signing a contract to a remodeling job, the job should be done completely on paper.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
And all you do to it, now I worked with a lead man concept. You call him a superintendent, call him a project manager, call him a carpenter, call him a lead, call him what you want. But he was the main man on the job. I said, here's your job.
Yeah.
And that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You help put that together up front. Then you get to go out and see it evolve.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. It's cool. It's cool.
How long has she been with you?
A little over 2 months.
Oh, gosh. 2 months. Feels like four.
Now I'm going to ask you the
in a good way.
Question, if you didn't hear me before, but you're already doing it. What's the most important thing you do every day?
Client experience, I would say.
Communicate.
Yes.
Because it's all around communication.
Yep.
Is it not?
Yeah, it is.
You got enough experience behind you. You're a very fortunate young lady.
Yes.
To have your father in the background. And more than that, you loved it.
Yes.
See, people forget that, and I think that's the element with that's the reason behind Put Tools in Schools, is to expose kids to things that they otherwise would not be able to see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew at a young age what you want, what you liked, at least, not what you had no concept of where you were going. You just know you liked something, right?
Yes.
And you grabbed a hold of it. Did you ever work with tools?
Yes, I backsanded, I've stained, I've done a few different things, so, yeah.
Right, you have a screw gun before?
Yeah.
Of course. Man, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really good. So keep it up. All right, now you just got to find a man, get married, have a baby and all that stuff, and kind of work through all that, navigate through it.
Mm-hmm.
You did it.
Sure. I didn't found a woman.
Well, same thing, just reverse.
Yeah, reverse, yeah.
But anyway, so you're just going to stick with it and go with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what you're doing today is great for you. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
Because what are you doing today? You're communicating.
Mm-hmm.
It's really all we do every day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But you get good at it. You're good at your job. That's the most important part of it, is communicating. Even with Paul. Paul, what are you doing these days? What's your position on the field?
Yeah, so
I know you're the owner and the big cheese and all that. I get that.
Yes. So all that glamour, right? Yeah. But I'm operations manager in addition to the owner role, and really kind of setting the vision and the tone for the company. Where are we going? What do we want to do as a team and for our clients? And so I try and do the best I can to set the vision as owner, and then I'm operations manager as well.
Gotcha. Well, you know, we've had first hour of basically introducing. Now we're going to talk in hour number two. We're going to step up here and find out what Paul, what kind of jobs he like? What do you do? How do you do it? Find out we talked about the Cody Awards. We're going to talk about the Rhody Awards coming up. And was she involved with any Codys?
Not yet.
Not yet, but going to?
Yeah, sure.
Good. That's awesome. But we're going to talk to him about that, all about remodeling, because, you know, there is an art and a methodology to remodeling, to do it correctly. And unfortunately, there's some yahoos out there that don't do it correctly. And it's okay, because they'll learn, maybe, hopefully. We'll talk a little bit more about NARI and what that can do to help you if you're looking to get into the remodeling field. And just like Paul, he graduated. He went and seeked out NARI for a reason. We'll find out what that's about. Come on back next hour. Hour number two coming up right here on About Your House. Tune us in to Fox Sports Charlotte. Go on Facebook Live, About Your House Radio. YouTube Live, About Your House Radio. We'll be back.
You awake yet? Join us for Hour 2 as Ray and Paul Kowalski and Brooke of Kowalski Builders continue the discussion on the industry while giving you some tips along the way. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also, About Your House is brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Switched up the music on you, didn't I? Ha, I got you today. George Benson and Breezin'. I love that song. I heard it on the way to the studio last week, and I said, oh, I just love that. I got to play it more. So that's a great intro. Welcome back. Hour number two of About Your House, talking to Paul Kowalski and Brooke. Brooke what?
Hospelhorn.
I'll just call it Brooke. Yeah, make it real easy.
You got two easy names today, Kowalski and Hospelhorn. How about that?
Kowalski, that's where's that from?
That is Polish.
I was going to say Polish. I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. And talking to him about, you know, just remodeling in general. Okay, you became a remodeler, Paul, and, you know, you've grown. And how many employees you got now?
We got 13. 13 employees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where's headquarters?
Headquarters is off of Westinghouse Boulevard on Crompton Street, so South Charlotte, close to 77 and 485. So
Carowinds area.
Yeah, so we can circulate out pretty easily from there, yeah. Got a building, a warehouse. Yep.
Got to have it.
Yeah.
So you got how many employees?
13.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of people. Yeah. But that's great. Business is good. How many jobs you got going on?
Oh, gosh. Right now I think we have 12 in process, another 12 in the design hopper. Yeah.
So that's your department, the design hopper.
Process, mostly, would be mine and design, both of them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think just by you saying what you say, with how many people you got in office, administrative kind of people?
Gosh, got to be six, seven, around there. I got to count them up right off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About six, yeah.
About six, yeah.
Yeah, so we got architectural designers on staff, so... helping out with selections as well.
Speaking of that, what's the system?
Yeah, so we're design, build, remodeler.
Well, let's tell people what design, build means, because that's really important from a concept of a good professional remodeling firm. Because I'm just going to kind of elaborate here a little bit.
Sure.
You're going to a contractor that's going to help you with, literally, not only help you, be a part of the design process from the very beginning, thought process, and help you design that project. Actually, as I said before, you're building that project on paper.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's and that planning piece is critical in remodeling, right? You're trying to reduce the amount of variables. Let that client know what it is you're going to get. I always say a really good project plan, like a set of plans, you know, the paper plans that you look at, really is it's more than just a something you're going to build off. It is the plan. How is this going to happen? Yeah. What are you going? I you know at best. Yes, we'll produce an estimate for you that breaks these things out, and you may look at the line items, and clients may know about half of what's on there, if they're lucky, right? But what they really know is, when I'm making a sign, kind of pointing at a piece of paper, when do I get this, you know, or is this shelf here? It shows this. So if your plan is really well done, it has good information.
Detailed,
documented. Brooke helping out with the selections. Where does that deco band of tile go? You know, how do you do that granite backsplash with the shelves inset? Is it sitting proud of that granite or is it inset? And, well, gosh, how are you going to – are you going to caulk those seams? How's that all going to happen? Somebody's got to think about that. That's Brooke.
That's detail.
Yeah.
Details will sink the ship. Literally, on any remodeling project, it's the details. You know, and that's what I've always said on this show about planning. If you don't plan, you will mess up and you'll redo. And it's stressful. It's horrible. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
And how many times have I gone in and seen a faux pas and said, folks, this ain't going to work? Well, I thought the architect said, or this person said, well, with the design build firm, you're dealing with a in-house team of people that are working around the same project. It's not separated. Now, I don't know if you follow what I just said, but that's exactly what design build gets you. And one of my biggest piece of advice I give people when they're talking about remodeling a bathroom, a kitchen, room addition, porch enclosure, whatever, design build.
Yeah, it's a different experience, right? If you know the other model, and for some people it works, you know, is I call it design bid build, but you become, you know, as the homeowner purchaser of this, you become the manager of architectural design. You become the chooser of the trades, and well, maybe not the trades, but the general contractor. But with design build, it's a little bit different, or a lot different.
It's a lot different.
Yeah, you're getting...
It's more comprehensive. It's 10 times more comprehensive.
Yeah, it allows... You've got a team of folks like Brooke, who's working out the details on the finishes, the things you're going to use every day, see, feel, and touch, and your friends are going to come over and see. But you also have a production manager who serves as a gatekeeper, right? The guy who's got to build it has to approve those plans and say, yes, I can build this. I can start on time. I can finish on time. I can achieve a budget, and I can make this client, you know, very, very happy with this project. But it's all in-house, and we're all you know, at sometimes infighting over these projects, but at best we're going to produce something harmonious, right? We're trying to set the next person up for success as best we can.
Right. Got it. And for all you folks out there, DIYers that watch a lot of TV, you already screwed up. You're watching too much TV, but anyway, cause it ain't real. Am I right?
You're completely right.
21-year-old just said it. You're completely right. It's all entertainment, folks.
Yeah.
Anyway, now you're thinking by what Paul just said, that must be expensive. Yep, it is. Why? You go do it. You'll learn why. All those trips. I got to set an appointment with the tile selection, with the knob selection, with the cabinet selection, with the floor selection, with the appliance selection. You get the picture. And that takes a lot of time because nobody will talk to you anymore or communicate with you. That's why I dwell on it every Saturday, how important communication is. People, do you get it? Sorry, get a little ramped up there. But that's expensive, and it takes time.
Yes, it does.
What's the hardest thing you have to do every day? Communicate, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Most important, but yet it's the hardest, isn't it?
Yes.
Not, don't mean to put words in your mouth. I'm just, you know, but I'm making a point here mm-hmm. that takes time, and time is money. Paul has to pay this young lady a salary. She's got to be producing, productive. She wants to be. That's what she loves to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But can't do it unless you help her.
I've tried to get people to show up without a check, and it hasn't been successful so far.
No.
So, yeah.
They won't do it.
No.
We're not running a nonprofit here.
That's right.
This is for a profit situation. But, right, I mean, so therefore, what is Design Build about? And I'm glad you're on the show because we really get to hit that one hard because people, a lot of people out there in the consumer world don't know what a Design Build firm does.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting somebody who's invested, right? Yes. So we work in essentially two contracts. The first one is going to be a design agreement.
Exactly.
We're going to get paid for the talented folks like Brooke, like Michelle or Yasmin, our architectural designers, Marlon, our project developer, who's our estimator, Jake, our production manager who oversees this. You know, you're getting a lot of value. You're getting experts in your field vetting this thing out because we want to be successful.
Do you give them a timetable, the client? Do you give them a timetable?
We use a software called Builder Trend. It's a technology that a lot of builders are using. We've used it for about, a little over 8 years now. And we have templates, right? We have build-outs of our three parts that, you know, there's kind of three sections to the design build process for our company. We have what you call design, where we're going to listen to you. We're going to get that documented on paper. We're going to have some meaningful back and forth. We're going to estimate. We're going to, and in remodeling, this is really unique. We're going to have our trade partners, our vendors, our subcontractors come out to the home, and we're going to pick through our scope of work for that plan and make sure from the experts who are going to have to touch your home physically and make this thing happen, they have the opportunity to vet this out, try and troubleshoot. And if
some issues, up front.
Yeah, we'll even cut
the
some
unknowns,
drywall.
Yeah.
If you'll let us, we'll open up some areas just to make sure before.
Make sure you can run that vent hood out the back.
You got it. You got it. You know, which way are the joists running?
I wish everybody would do that. I go in and say, this ain't going to work. Why? Where's the ductwork? Oh, we're going to put it through the ceiling. The ceiling's finished.
So you got to get those answers. So
I agree. Yeah,
it is comprehensive. So we work. You know, you talked about the time frame. So in that design phase, we're doing all the preparation to get us to a construction contract in good faith. We have a set of plans that's detailed. At best, when you sign that contract, that homeowner should be able to point at that plan or a page on the plan and say, I see that happening. This is, I am getting that cabinet where I thought it was going to go. It's the right color and the countertop fits and the sink fits on it and the handle doesn't hit the back of the wall. It's been thought out. And that's all what happens when Brooke is working with our construction team. And there's back and forth, right? Our
production there has to be.
Right?
Yeah.
Our production manager's
gets into that communication territory again.
That's right. And so that is the design phase. We have a template for our design phase. Usually runs anywhere from 90 to 150 days. Yeah. And some of this is client dependent. It depends on the size of the project. But we have a template of these steps, and there's gates along the way when our architectural designer hands off to our estimator. There's a certain set of standards that those plans need to be set to so that he can estimate properly and he can have those trades come out with clear scopes of work and vet them out. And guess what? We get feedback from these experts when the HVAC guy comes out and says, you can't run that vent hood here. You're going to have to create a chase, or you're going to need your engineer because we got to header this off, or we got to find another way to do it, Or guess what, Brooke? We have to move it. And where are we going to put the vent hood now or the cooktop? I know I'm going on here a little
bit. No, you're exactly right. You're dead on. These are facts that have to be looked at, Paul. Stupid has really become a serious issue. And, you know, you're not part of the stupid, not what I'm hearing. But when I go out and see, I set a new policy. I won't work for builders anymore. Why? Because they're dummies. I mean, you know, you go out, and these are contractors. And I'm sorry if I sound a bit forthright in my, you know, explanations here. But you go out there, and there's four or five problems that I can't do the job that you asked me to come out here and do. Why? Well, you can't put a 43-inch range in a 42-inch hole. It will not work. And secondly, to have a gas dryer, you must have gas run behind the dryer. These are issues, really. And I can't put a 33-inch refrigerator in a 32-inch hole. Get it? I see this stuff all the time. But that's okay. Good job security. No, I tell you what, though, but to your point, I mean, you're covering all that.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's a big benefit to a client that wants a professional and a good, well done job.
You got a plan. You got a plan. That time you spend planning will save you that much on the back end.
Right. We're talking to Paul Kowalski, builders, Paul Kowalski himself, and Brooke. Come on back. We'll talk to him some more. But Brooke's going to have to bug out of here soon, aren't you?
Yes.
But we'll talk to her a bit more, and then. Come on back, we'll talk.
I know who I am, try to do what's right. So lock me up and throw away the key. But this time's gotta stop, enough is enough. I can't take this BS any longer, it's gone far enough. If you wanna claim my soul, you'll have to come and break down this door.
Welcome back. You know, sitting here talking to Paul and Brooke during the break and speaking of remodeling, you know, it really, you know, when you're in it, in the thick of remodeling, which you're in it big time now,
yeah.
And the things you experience every day with these jobs, nothing, it's not like new construction, is it?
It's much more challenging, much more solution-based. And even for the best laid plans, you're going to have to deal with something you didn't expect.
But isn't it rewarding? Don't you just love it?
It's amazing.
Isn't it neat? A lot of people say, I don't know how you do it. Why would you do that? God, it seemed like headaches are everywhere. No, they're not. That's the challenge. It's like painting a picture on canvas. you know, and you can make it work. And, you know, and yeah, you run into, it's not the problems, it's the solutions.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I love the idea of being able to create something from existing to something somebody know, you know, that client didn't expect and really produce, right? And it's so niche, design, build, remodeling, larger scale remodeling. It takes a tremendous amount of planning. It takes experts in each kind of discipline to pull it off.
You got to get engineers involved, too.
Yes,
and
you
all
do.
All that stuff.
Sure do.
Because you're taking walls out and...
Yeah, no engineers on staff right now, but some great engineers we partner with.
Oh, you partner with, yeah.
Yeah, folks that are members of NARI.
Marcel.
Yep, sure. Yeah. Marcel, absolutely.
IDE.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Intelligent Design Engineering.
Right.
And they're
good
fantastic.
Company. Good company.
Cameron and the whole crew out there, fantastic.
And these are another factors of design build. You're working with a firm that's got relationships in the industry, in the community, and the resources that you as a homeowner don't have.
Yeah.
And to have all that legwork done for you and design in the design build arena, it's phenomenal what it can do for you.
It's a niche business. I love it because it is niche, right? There's not a lot of people that do what we do. There's a handful in Charlotte that do it at the level we do.
Oh, there's some wonderful remodeling contractors that I've known for many, 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 many years.
Yeah.
But relative to what the need is, not many.
Right, right. They do it the right way.
Now, when you got involved with NARI, the National, have you been to a NARI meeting yet?
I have not yet.
Well, you will.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, it's right up your alley. And just to share with you, when we started NARI, and I've said this before, there was probably in the room at a meeting, we might have 40 people back when we started, 40 people. Well, in that 40 people, we might have five women. Five.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. At one NARI meeting, well, they're pretty much all the same now, relatively speaking, to the crowd, the demographics of the crowd. I was in the room with 83 people at a NARI meeting. 40 were women.
Mm-hmm.
So women are very, very, have stepped up in the remodeling sector of construction, period. Well, all sectors of the trades, really. Women are really getting involved and up, stepping up to the bat. But it's a great organization to learn and grow with and network with. And what took you to NARI?
You know, to be honest, the first thing that drew me there were the Cody Awards Contractor of the Year, now called Rody,
yeah,
Remodeler of the Year, more appropriate, I assume. That's what hooked me in, the idea of the recognition for the work that was being done. And then I learned more about the educational piece at NARI, a universal design professional.
Yeah, I was going there because, you know, NARI is a national organization. I'm going to tout it a little bit. Back in 1990, August of 1990, and I'll tell the story real quick again, I was called and asked to attend a meeting to possibly bring NARI to Charlotte, a chapter of NARI to Charlotte. And I did attend a meeting, and out of that meeting, I became the first chapter president. And we, 15 of us, we had to have 15, and we started the chapter. Well, what I saw in NARI was the educational benefits, because I, as a so-called rookie professional, because I didn't know what professional was until I really found out what professional, it was 1990 when I got involved with NARI that really my career and my knowledge took off. I knew a lot of stuff hands-on, working with tools and everything, but I didn't know the other side, and I'm not too sure I know it all today, but I keep learning. But the point is, NARI had a tremendous educational program, the certified remodelers, and it wasn't nearly as big as it is today. Now you've got universal design, and that's what you went for?
Yeah, yeah. And that's universal design, for those who don't know, is really making spaces function for people of all abilities, right?
Accessibilities.
Accessibility, the whole nine yards, but it doesn't have to look like
institutionalized.
Correct. Yeah. It shouldn't. It's just flat out good design.
Like curbless showers. You know, you do me any of those?
Yeah. Lots of ha-
Your universal design, it drives me crazy to go in the bathroom now and see a curb because not necessary. Yes, it costs more to do it without a curb.
Yeah,
it does, and substantially more, I might add. However, it's the only way you need to do it for accessibility.
It's true. And some of these things we don't think about. We're all getting older, right? So for some folks, age in place is something that they're thinking about. It's their forever home they're investing in, and we're gonna put a lot of these things in, whether it be, you know, a grab bar, a curbless shower, understanding the lighting, right?
Most important part of any remodeling job, lighting.
It's a big piece. It is. But there's so many components. Just being accessibility into the home, right? You know, something simple as a handheld shower versus just a shower head. You know, go ahead and have an accident, break something, and try and bathe yourself.
I bet that's SOP, standard operational procedure. It was for me, you know, for bathrooms when you do a new shower. You're going to probably, in the vast majority of the times, have a handheld, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. Brooke, would you say so?
Yes, I would agree.
On a valve by itself even,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
See? And these are things that basic contractors will forego because of money. When if you think about it, did you ask the homeowner? Well, no, not really. Why not? Oh, God, the conversations I've had through the years.
But it's a partnership, right? Some folks don't want to do that, or they want to save money in some areas.
It's like having a big shower without a seat. What? Why? Golly, women love seats to shave their legs and what have you. And, hey, just throw this little tidbit in there. You can shower with your husband or wife. It's a lot of fun. You know, seat really works out well. Just a little tidbit there, just a little hint. I mean, you know, something to think about. You might. You know, we're adults here. We can talk about that sort of thing.
Sure.
Right? But wouldn't you say a seat in the shower is a pretty good little trick?
Yeah.
Yeah, now you're going to niches, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you can light the niche with a luminiche.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, all these terms, woo.
That's right.
And frameless. Oh, we're going to have shower door girls in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Shower door people. And there again, back to Neri.
Yeah.
I'm bobbing around here.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know, you mentioned, you know, the amount of, you know, women in Neri.
Yeah.
There is, you know, within the chapter Neri, there's women in Neri. Win.
Yeah, Win. Yeah.
They have a luncheon monthly. They are doing great community projects as well within Neri.
Yeah, they've gotten involved, put tools in schools, and attended 3 or 4 of our events over the years where they've shown up and done design boards, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff with the kids. Phenomenal engagement with the students, and really. And like you, you know, that these kids, students in most schools aren't exposed to interior design,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it kind of captivates them. We're all artists at heart, all of us. God planned it that way. We're creators, two hands, great mind, genius mind, to create and build and change. I don't care who you are, how old you are, what sex you are, what gender. I don't care. Doesn't matter because we're all the same. We're creators. But go to school, and what do? Take it away from you. They do, don't they?
Yes.
See, here's a 21-year-old. I'm just listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're lucky. You got the right courses. We need to offer those courses more to students in school.
Yes.
We do. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, Brooke, I'm excited for you. Hopefully get, you know, experience some of that stuff with Wynn and Neri. Mm-hmm. We'll get you in there. I know you're still getting your feet wet with us, right?
Oh, you're young. You're young. You got a ways to go, girl. And you know, I told you today, my career really didn't start going until I was 39. I mean, my career was in place. I was a carpenter. I was a remodeler. I was a builder, and I was all that. But I wasn't as professional as I should have been. And I wasn't. Oh, I wasn't. You know, looking back on it, and you know, and I'm saying that I owned it, but I made it, so it's okay.
You know, I want to mention something. You talked a lot about, hey, you know, what is the most important thing we do
mm-hmm.
is communicate. You know, I want to put something else on top of that, right? It is probably the most important thing we do is to communicate. But after you communicate, especially in a design build setting, and it's in our core values, is to document what was said. you can talk all day, but if you don't have something written down, I think
substantiated.
Yes, and make sure everybody understands. And it's an opportunity once you document it for a client, a subcontractor looking at a scope of work. Scope of work is literally the documentation of what you're being asked to do and what you're going to get paid for, right? So having that written down and to be able to respond to it. You did not hear me correctly. That's okay. But you can only have that conversation if you wrote it down or you recorded it somewhere. It's a large part of what Brooke does in selections, right? It's a lot of detail.
And I can understand that totally. Substantiation and validation, you know, because then you can't back up. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that. Well, yeah, you did. You said right here.
But, Brooke, that's, you know, your time on the computer in the office is a lot of data entry, right?
Yes.
It's communication with the clients. I mean, I'll let you talk about it a little bit, but
yeah.
What's the hardest part of your job?
I would say the data entry part and getting the approvals needed. Documentation.
So documentation to mm-hmm. with the client.
Yes.
That's the hardest part.
And getting homeowners to sign off.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and there yeah. we get into and you know, in today's world, communication involves a lot of different aspects. Mm-hmm. And you're saying sign off on it. And the reason they want you to sign off on it is, you know, to make sure it's what you want. Why wouldn't you sign off on it, folks? It is your house. Mm-hmm. You know. It's like, do you get a lot of that? Do you get some apprehensions in that stuff?
Yeah.
What do? Just wait or sit there and...
Well, I mean, typically we just... typically we would have a meeting at the very end of all of our selections, and we would go through everything with them again and just ensure that we've, one, selected everything that they want, and two, we have them approve everything, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. So...
No, I get it. Believe me.
And you know, some of it is being able to see it. So Brooke, you know, in addition to knowing her selections, et cetera, she works in a couple different programs, 2020, the cabinet program, and chief architect. So I think some of the
– Are you working with chief architect?
Yeah.
That's what I use.
That's our primary based software that we use for our plans. Our architectural designers use it. But it's rendering. It's 3D modeling software.
Yeah.
So, you know, in CAD, you can put a bunch of lines on there, and then once you hand those plans out and the framer goes, well, wait a second, this doesn't really add up. A model, however, forces you – it'll break before you ever build it, and you have to get it right. But the rendering piece, and Brooke is capable of doing this, if you can let the homeowner see it and build that confidence, like you put together.
Well, with technology today, and that's what you're talking about, is using the technology and the software mm-hmm. to present the imagery to help you and aid you to communicate with the homeowner.
Yes.
Well, we had it recently, a client. We put some mood boards together.
Yep.
Or you put mood boards together.
Yep.
But that has a big impact. That once you can see everything.
Visual.
Yes. Provide the visual pieces, and that's a large part mm-hmm. of what Brooke does, right? It's one thing to look at a plan view. Okay, well, yeah, that's the space I want, but what's the look? You know,
this comes so far, what you can do with technology today. You know, Steve Mattel. Have you ever met Steve?
I have not.
Detailed Interiors.
Uh-uh.
Steve doesn't show up a lot. He's a design build remodeler.
Okay.
A lot smaller than you, but yet he is. He's very meticulous, and same concept. And I've watched him grow. You know, well, he's a big near. He was big in education. He's Universal Design.
Okay.
Guy and all
I want
that.
To meet him.
Yes. Well, he doesn't come to near meetings anymore because. He's got his reasons, I guess, but it doesn't matter. He's certified remodeler, you know, and all that as well. So, but there again, technology. You couldn't do it as well without that technology.
Yes.
So you're on chief architect?
Yes.
Have you learned it yet?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. I used chief architect when I did kitchen and bath design. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That was the one I used for many, many years. I hadn't used that. Goodness gracious, 20 years.
I think they're on like version 16 or something.
Yeah,
now.
I was going to say I'd have to do a couple updates. But I loved drawing. See, I learned on the drawing board, drafting. Mm-hmm. You know, in high school, mm-hmm. we didn't have computers. You know, and that's another something that I wish kids would learn more so on the boards. You know, did you ever draw on a drawing board?
I did, actually. That's awesome. At Central Piedmont, we do a drafting class.
Cool.
So we do actually learn how to draw hand or draw plans by hand. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And talking about technology, we talked, was it last week, about BIM? Now, y'all aren't into that because of residential. BIM's primarily used in commercial. Mm-hmm. You know, readers. They have a reader on your helmet, hard hat. You walk the building. Have you seen any of that?
I haven't seen that yet. That's cool.
It scans the whole project and puts it, it transfer it right into the computer, and it'll tell you what's right and wrong. And it's amazing. Just scanning.
I'd love to get that into it. So we do now. We do scans to build our.
Well, I was
going to
ask you, have y'all gotten into the new technology with scanning and all that?
So when we're doing what we call an as-built, which is basically a drawing of what exists, we have a LIDAR scanner.
Yeah. LIDAR is what he talked about last week.
Yeah. So we come out, we'll do a LIDAR scan. It basically takes the natural environment.
Yeah.
And puts it into a model, and from that, we'll create the basis of our plans to build our new model on top of.
Right.
But it's all very good information. I mean, tape measure out in the field is great. You probably want to verify, obviously, but the LIDAR, it's just, I mean, it puts it at your fingertips, right? You can create that as-built model, and you can tweak it, and you can look back and see that grade does fall like this, or, you know, where does, is that, what's that distance from that closet to here? And you can actually measure in the model without having to go back out.
Yeah,
so if you miss a measurement, you're not stuck. You're not calling the home. Hey, can you measure from the closet over to that cabinet? No, you got it right there. It's really cool. Really, really cool.
See, I've used tape measuring. I'd blow my guys away in the field because I drew everything we built. I drew it on the computer. And you talk about, I said, go over and see if it's not 54 3/8. He'd go over there and said, how do you know that? I said, because I measured it. I know it's there. I know what's there. I had to draw that plan you're working on. He said, well, yes, 54 3/8. I said, yep. But, yeah, you can do all that on the computer now with LIDAR.
Yeah. And you still need to verify. You want to verify, obviously, but it's fantastic. You know?
Yeah. If one side of the cabinet's beside the window's 4 inches and the other side's 3.5, that is not good. The homeowner's going to see that and say, why is it narrower over here, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, right, Brooke?
Yes.
Yeah, but those details will kick your butt. You know, and that's why it's important that you get a good plan and get professionals to do the work, especially on a major remodel. And when I say major, I think you grasp what I'm getting at. Major is when you're revamping the whole room. Not a facelift, not a partial redo, but a complete remodel. So, but we're going to take a break here. You going to stick around to the top of the hour? When you got to go? It is 9:44.
I'll have to head out. But
you're headed out?
Yep.
We can say goodbye here?
Yep.
Well, I enjoyed meeting you. I hope to meet you again.
Yes.
And I wish you success, happiness, and you already have great purpose.
So thank you.
Just follow your passion, girl.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for coming, Brooke.
We're going to take a break and come back with more Paul Kowalski and remodeling Paul Kowalski's Builders. Come on back.
This is Ground Control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. I looked out this morning and the sun was gone. Turned on some music to start my day. I lost myself.
right, welcome back. I want to talk a little bit about Put Tools in Schools. We're revving up for the new school year. CMS and other area schools open the end of August, and we're getting ready, and we need the community involvement in various ways. But I want to talk about a little event I was asked to attend to and speak at the other night, and it ties right into Put Tools in Schools. I went to a signing of apprenticeships and graduation, 13 signing apprentices and 3 graduating apprentices, all from Ameritech, Bloom Corporation, Chiron Group, and FAF. They're all advanced manufacturing. 17 students right out of high school, either going into an apprenticeship or finishing their apprenticeship and being a journeyman. Here's where industry stepped up and really gotten involved in the education system. And thank you, Michael Realon, for doing the foundational work for this program to happen. Really great to see these kids. And, you know, their career pathways set for them. And they're with great companies, Bloom, German Manufacturing, FAF, German, you know, Ameritech. These are high technical, advanced manufacturing positions and apprenticeships that these kids would never have to look back. They got their career set. Put Tools in Schools can do the same thing and will do the same thing. Because, I mean, we need to get involved in the education of our students, our kids, and at least expose them to the pathways available to them outside the normal college pathway. And when I say college doesn't assure any child of a job, a career, or anything thereof unless, like Brooke here, she knew what she wanted to do right out of high school, and she was exposed to it, so she knew what she wanted to do. Most of these kids in our education model today, folks, don't get the opportunity to see the real menu of life. Put Tools in Schools at least has an opportunity to get involved with these kids, expose them to hands-on, engage them, let them know about other opportunities. Put Tools in Schools. And I encourage you, I invite you to visit the website, brand new website, puttoolsinschools.org. If you want to volunteer, you can sign up there. More than anything right now, we need industry to get involved. Go on the website at puttoolsinschools.org. Please sign up to get involved so we can add your name to the database when we have Trades Career Days or otherwise get involved with the community, such as we're involved with three afternoon programs right now with Center360.org and West Boulevard Ministries. We've got to help our kids have a good, happy life. Purpose-filled with, just like Brooke here, the girl lit up, found her pathway, and she's on it. Never look back. She doesn't have to worry about where, what, because it'll happen because she's passionate about it. Why can't we give that gift to more students? They're out there. So puttoolsinschools.org. Please visit the website. We need money. What do we need money for? Teach kids. Because not when you teach kids and give them the opportunity, you're not going to take advantage of them. You got to pay them. Well, we're going to pay interns. We're going to do whatever we have to do to get kids involved, connected to career pathways that they otherwise would not know or hear of, for that matter. That's puttoolsinschools.org. Please, I ask you, in industry, please step up. Please. I can't do it all. It takes a village. So, puttoolsinschools.org. All right, Paul Kowalski's in the house today talking Paul Kowalski's Builders. You know, talking about remodeling. Have you built any houses yet?
Yeah.
As Paul Kowalski Builders?
We have.
How many you built?
We have. A total of 2.
Really? That's great. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I built 3 when I was remodeling.
Yeah.
I didn't really build them. I helped build them.
Yeah.
I took care of the planning and coordinating because they were the DIY contractors.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, the homeowner wanted to build their house. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we worked, you know, custom. Somebody has the land already or has a spot picked out. And as a design build firm, we can help understand what you're working with.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. And what the grade is, what's the best way to do this. And so even though it's a new home, there's still a lot of value in design build. I mean, I think for remodeling, it is the superior method. But for new home construction, there's elements, especially if you're building it specifically for that client. So we didn't do any what I would call spec building or speculative building. These are homes where a client knows us.
You were part of their family.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. You get to know their family.
Oh, yeah.
And
most of your customers turn to friends, don't they?
They do.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I spoke to a gentleman yesterday afternoon. He called me and wanted my opinion on something. And matter of fact, I want to share this story right now, if I might add. His son recently got engaged, and his fiance, his wife-to-be, owns a condo in South Charlotte over by Park Road Shopping Center. I'm not going to tell you exactly where because it really doesn't matter. Anyway, like a lot of times this happens, and I get calls on this a lot, too many times, and I'm going to explain it to you. He called me up and says, Ray, my daughter-in-law-to-be had somebody out looking at a water heater replacement today, and he got to looking around and went out to the panel and said the panel was old, antiquated, and it needed to be replaced, the electrical panel. Well, now here's a young lady, school teacher, you know, getting terrorized by this trades guy, and I don't know the name of the company, and I'm glad at this time I don't, because I would tell you. And then he says, now this air conditioner compressor's too close to the building. It's not meeting code. Well, this was built back in probably 1970 or 80s, the building. At the time it was built to code. But yet, here's a contractor coming in there telling the lady, this is wrong, it's got to be fixed, got to be replaced, when none of it was true. None of it. Every bit of what I looked at was grandfathered, meaning it was there when it was built. You don't have to, you can't expect everything to be updated. There is a ratio of that if you had to remodeling, but we're talking a condo that's not going to get remodeled to that degree, and it's not necessary. So what do we have going on here? Fear sales. Nothing that guy said was relevant. Nothing. He was trying to sell her service that she didn't need. Folks, be careful. Don't believe everything they tell you, some of these companies tell you. There are some major marketing machines in Charlotte. Not going to mention any names. Major marketing machines. What are they? They come out. Yeah, they'll fix your electrical. They'll fix your air conditioning. They'll also look around and try to upsell you like crazy. You ever hear about that, Paul?
We've bumped into it. You know, we've seen it happen. Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
It's called fear factors and fear selling, which drives me crazy and, frankly, very unethical. Not professional at all. Just a money grab. I'll share another little story with you before the break, and we'll get top of the hour here. Had a listener call me and ask for some advice on some plumbing. I said, you need to call. He said, well, I've already called one company. They gave me a price of $11,000.
For what?
To fix a drain in the house. I don't know exactly because I didn't go out and look at it.
Sure.
He says, but Ray, I called the plumber you told me to call. They came out and took care of it for less than $500. And I didn't need to do what this other company told me I needed to do. They were upselling. They do it all the time. I'm telling you, who do you believe? What do you believe?
There's an opportunity to educate there rather than upsell.
Exactly. But that takes an ethical company to come in there and do the right thing and not try to get all your money. Crawl spaces fit into that category a lot with encapsulation. They come out there and tell you, oh, you got to encapsulate.
Mold.
They put fear in you. Just to sell you an encapsulated crawl space when it's not necessary, I would venture to say 50% of the time, not necessary. Then people say, well, what do you know about it? I don't know. You believe who you want to. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just here to tell you some facts.
That's it. You know, there's science behind it, right?
You bet there's science behind it. And it's common sense oriented, too, if you think about some of this stuff. But no, you believe. You get fearful. You get scared. And you get backed up in a corner, and they're going to push it on you. Folks, it didn't happen overnight. You don't need to sign a check and expect it to be fixed overnight. Take your time. Do research. Develop a plan of action. We talk about that a lot on this show. But that's the key to a successful completion to anything, a great plan. So, all right, we're going to take a top of the hour break, come back with more Paul Kowalski, Builders, and much more talking on Fox Sports Charlotte. If you want to call in, Uncle Red said you need a phone number, 704-227-8986. 704-227-8986. That's the number. Fox Sports Charlotte, download the free app. Stream us live, by far the best way to hear us. And on your browser, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, About Your House Radio's page. Spread the word. Come on back. We'll be here.
Call into my name. 200 million guns are loaded. Same crowd take aim. Better run.
Grab another cup of coffee and join us for Hour 3 as Paul Kowalski of Kowalski Builders and Ray will be discussing NARI as well as their experiences in the field and the state of the industry as a whole. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Get a minute, better live while you're in it, 'cause it's gone in a blink. And the older I get, the truer it is. It's the people you love, not the money and stuff, that makes you rich. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop. That's the truth. Funny how it feels. I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get.
All right, welcome back. Hour number three. Paul Kowalski's in the house. But we've got a caller. Long time no hear. Uncle Red.
How you doing?
I'm marvelous. How you doing?
You sound like you and Paul are having a big time. I've been listening to, for a change. I'm listening to the whole show from the start to the finish if I can.
Well, good. How you listening on the app or your computer?
No, I'm listening. I'm listening on the cell phone.
Okay, cool.
Sitting out in the yard, looking up at the sky and wondering why there's no rain.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful day. I'm certainly enjoying everything because everything y'all are touching on, you and I know it, but people really do need to listen to what he's saying. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
All of it's a darn truth. I mean, it amazes me. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to get the big conversation, but I was going to say, because y'all talked about it earlier when the young lady was on too. My senior engineer at the engineering company where I was a project manager, and I'll call his name because his name was Warren Rice, and he started with DuPont, and he worked his way through college changing light bulbs on oil drilling rigs in the Gulf, so nobody handed him anything. But he was the co-author of the second edition of the Mechanical Engineer's Handbook. He's one of the smartest people I ever met in my life, and he worked for us. He took an early out at DuPont, and he started working for us. And he could talk to you about anything, airflow, water flow. It didn't matter. Construction, stress. He used a lead pencil and a legal pad and back-checked his stuff on a computer. I mean, most amazing man in the world, but could speak in lay terms. But he came to work for us and walked in and told the owner, the senior vice president, and everybody else that was in that office, and he said, I'm going to tell you people something. And you got to remember, our company started in 1930. He said, you're going to engineer it before you start, you're going to engineer it in the middle of the job, or you're going to engineer it at the end, but at some point, you're going to engineer it. And that stuck with me forever, and that's kind of what y'all been saying. If you do it the most efficient way, you engineer it on the front end, and you try to work all the details out on the front end. And I loved what Paul said a little bit ago, because I'm familiar with AutoCAD. I was familiar with AutoCAD when it started. You know, I'm like you. I learned how to draw on the drawing board. But I had people working AutoCAD. I got the pay to upgrade it every year, you know what I mean, for however many computers I had. But when he said something a few moments ago, he said fact-checking the lines, because the first thing I found out about AutoCAD was the guy entering the numbers and dragging his finger and tapping his finger on the button, he can either make you or he can break you. And somebody needs to be checking behind AutoCAD, because if he keys off the wrong line, the whole damn building moves, or all the dimensions move. And I caught a few of them, you know, early. And I said, I love it because it speeds the process up. But you have to pay attention to the details, because if he's having a bad day or he's in a hurry or something. And then the other thing was, when y'all were talking about drawing, learning how to draft, and the young lady said she took two courses in drafting. If you're trying to explain something to somebody, and I'll finish on this note here in a second. If you're trying to explain something to the customer, let's say, or to another contractor maybe, if you can put a piece of paper on the hood of a truck, and you can take a ruler and a pencil, and you know how to draw an angle, and you can draw something, the minute they see what you're trying to tell them, that light bulb will go off, and they'll say, okay, now I know what you're telling me. But you got to be able to do it. And if you didn't get the basics and you can't do that, yeah, you can break a damn laptop out in the sun on the hood of a car and try to dodge the glare off the screen and all. If you can draw it on a piece of paper, you can do it anywhere. Yeah. I mean, and I did that so many times. I still do it. I used to do it when I was in the whale business. I'd draw a picture of a whale, you know, and explain to people what we're trying to do here. But I'm going to finish on this one right quick. My adopted son, you know who it is, that does the same thing I used to do. It's been on a $300 million job. I won't say what state it's in, because it might give it away, and I certainly won't give a company name. And the people, and this is the highest-end engineering stuff that you can move into, short of nuclear. And the people that are spending the money, and they are spending billions, cannot see what they've designed until he puts it in. And they have been working over a year on nothing but correcting stuff that they approved, and they're just throwing money at it. So don't think when you do everything right that the customer is the cutoff man. He's the guy writing the checks. Now, they're not having any problem signing change orders. They've been working for a year doing change orders, and the building's not even finished yet. And the project is over a year. And I'm talking a monster project. Some people just can't see it until you put it together. So anything you do, like Paul was talking, anything you do virtually, anything you do to give people a picture of it works, but there's a few people that just can't grasp it until they can walk in the building and look down and say, you know what, we told y'all to put these pumps here, but they're just a little bit too close together. So let's tear that all back out. But the only problem is we're talking about pipes that are 2 feet in diameter or 3 feet in diameter. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like.
Yeah, you know,
it's hard enough tearing plumbing out. It's hard enough tearing a little bit of plumbing in a house out. But you start moving major industrial stuff, it's just the magnitude of the money just makes me want to throw up.
What bugs me about it all, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just like large industrial projects such as you're talking about. Most of them, unfortunately, are done that way because of poor planning and poor engineering. And I say that, and then the term I use a lot is overeducated idiot, because, and that's exactly what we're talking about here. You know, and like it or not, be offended, I don't care, because that's exactly what we're dealing with.
Right.
And then they just come in and say, no, we got to redo it all. You're talking millions of dollars.
It's like their money or the customer's money, but the customer has so much money that they don't fit. Even when you go to them, but I will go along with Paul about documentation.
Oh gosh, yes.
Since they document everything that they see them doing wrong, they'll tell them up front in emails, this is a bad idea. We do not recommend doing it this way. And they'll send you an email back and say, we realize that, but go ahead and do it our way. We want to take a look at it. I mean, so there is some real stupid stuff that goes on in industry.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, stupid stuff that goes on everywhere. But, no, I'm enjoying the show. And, I mean, I hope people that are listening to you, however they're listening to you, are paying attention, because we were doing design build years and years ago because we'd figured out value added. Everybody has a different way of selling it. You know that.
Sure.
But don't take for a minute that I am trying to take away from really good, distinguished engineering firms that really take the time to get the engineering right.
Yeah, there's some great ones out there.
That's right. But you still have to take an engineer, and then you have to couple them with the people that are going to construct the project. And there's where you get that overlap, or you don't get the overlap. And he was talking about doing overlays, which are the greatest thing in the world, because we used to do it, you know, even with paper years ago, because you got to be able to make sure that there's no gray areas. Who's in charge of this and who's in charge of that, and who is responsible for this and who's responsible for that? Because the first thing that pops up is, well, that wasn't in my discipline. That wasn't part of my quote.
Right.
Well, that's the worst thing in the world you can have happen, because it happens right in the middle of everything going in.
Yeah, it's a partnership, so, too, right? You know, for us, we've got an idea of how it's going to come together. Our architectural designers do. And it's a partnership. And we're saying, we'll communicate, collaborate with that engineer and say, what do you think? We think this is the right way to get this done. And we've been surprised. Some of the greatest designs we've had, engineers really thinking about it when they're locked in, they've given us some amazing ideas, a remodel project.
Oh, yeah, because you're getting more heads in the game.
Yeah.
And if they really care about what they're doing and they're not just cookie cutter stamping drawings, which, unfortunately, that started years and years ago, you know, when they figured out they could just pull a piece off another drawing and slap it on another piece of paper and call it, you know. And then you start reading the notes on the details, and then you realize, this isn't even the same project. I flew to Savannah one time to look at a refrigerated building that was going for the Port Authority for my big trucking guy. And I looked at the specs. And I read them on the airplane on the way down there. They were paying me to ride down there and just look. And they didn't know who I was down there. You know, I was just a consultant, supposedly. But I'd known the guy 50 years. And I stood up in a meeting in front of the guy that ran the Port Authority, which is in Savannah, which is a monstrous place that's been dredged, that takes the biggest container ships in the world. And I said, I don't know what y'all are doing. I don't know what this guy is trying to sell y'all on. But the specification that he's got here has two different projects in it, in the pages. And he looked at it like, oh, crap. And I said, for 30 years of my life, I said, I'm reading about one project and I'm reading about another project. See, I was the only one that was really reading anything and paying attention to it. But, you know, we called him out on it. You know, he said, well, I have an investor that's ready to put down $1 million just to get started. And my guy said, tell your guy to get his million together. I got my million. And that shut that down right quick. But anyway, you got to call them out. It's kind of like a poker game. But you're right about everything you've been saying, because I've been listening in detail to what you're saying. I've been trying. Ray knows how I am. I'm the devil's advocate. I'm going to listen for somebody to say something wrong. And so far, what y'all have said is correct, if people are listening. You know, do you still have a problem every once in a while? Sure. Does somebody, your supplier, try to change something on you? You get caught, and they don't tell you. You know, or somebody does an or equal with an appliance or a device or something that's supposedly better, you know, and nobody checks the dimension. That just happens. You can't. Love what Ray said just before I called in. He said, you can't put a 43.5-inch something in a hole, whatever it was. It was a range or something.
Yeah, you can't put a 43-inch range in a 42-inch hole.
No, I kicked a brand new refrigerator in a hole for a family member one time that didn't measure the hole, and I had to tear all the molding off sit in the floor and put my back against the cabinet. And I thought, I'm glad I got this thing hooked up and it went in. But I hate when somebody has to take it back out. You're gonna have to tear it apart to get it out of the hole.
Yep.
And it was a brand new house.
Well, that's a great example. The devil's in the details there. You know, if you're talking
about
new column fridges, you know, and how's that door going to open? How does it fit with the molding?
Is it going to open enough to allow the drawers to open?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
And is it going to look flush enough for that client? You know, they purchased
And that's the oldest one. What Ray said is one of the oldest ones you run into when you pack the refrigerator in the corner.
All right.
Is, will the molding on the window can you open the door long enough to get the trays out of the bottom?
Got to go. Breaks.
Yeah, go ahead. I enjoyed it. I'm going to flip you back over and punch some buttons and get you back on the streaming thing, and I'll listen to you. Y'all take care.
All right. Good talking to you, brother. Love you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Uncle Red, he gets a little winded, but that's Uncle Red. That's what he does. But definitely smart man. Smart man. We're going to take a break here. It's break time, first break, third hour. Paul Kowalski's in the house. We're talking remodeling, design, build, a true professional concept to the remodeling world. Let's talk some more about it. Come back. You're listening to Fox Sports Charlotte, Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.com, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, About Your House Radio. We'll be back.
Pirate Smile. Merry music man, ballerina, you must have seen her dancing in the sand. Now she's in me, always with me, tiny dancing.
yeah. That's why I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning. That's why I'm easy. Make it. Everybody wants me to be what they want me to be. I'm not happy when I try to fake it. No. Ooh, that's why I'm easy. Like Sunday morning.
All right. Welcome back. Talking to Paul Kowalski of Paul Kowalski Builders. How's your system work? I mean, like, you're on the radio today. We're talking about it's pkbuilders.com, by the way.
Yes.
pkbuilders.com. If people are interested in talking to you, tell you got a process, a protocol per se.
Oh yeah, so you can get on the website, you can click contact us, you can fill out that information. Someone will call you back. Kathy, my wife, actually, we call her the director of first impressions.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. But she helps us with incoming calls. You can call us 704-737-1672. And I believe it's on that tree. Just hit button one if you have a new project. And either Kathy will pick up the phone or you leave us a message. We'll call you back. Or most folks will contact us via the website. pkbuilders.com.
I was asking for that reason to find out what in this technologically advanced world, like I said, with puttoolsandschools.org, it's a brand new website. We're refining the forms and everything else, and it takes time and it takes a process, but we're getting there. But now, so what you're saying is most of your contacts are done by your website.
Yeah. I mean, people, Google, everybody goes on.
Oh, yeah.
Googles you and finds you, and then it leads to the website, and we want to be able for people to get in touch with us, obviously, so you can check out, see what we do, learn about our process of design build and how we approach that, and fill out that form, and somebody will call you back. Now, of course, we're on Instagram and Facebook and those things as well. You can find us there. Yeah.
All right. They call you.
Yeah,
they call you. Says we're interested in getting a kitchen remodel or whatever. What's your kind of thing? Do you have any salespeople?
We do. Chris Livingston, we call him a project guide because that's really what they are. They're going to help guide you through the process and help work with our team. So you'll talk with Kathy first, kind of introduce what we do, and if it makes sense for you. You're going to have a
You're not for everybody.
No, we're not.
And you know that.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not that I'm trying to tell you.
No. Yeah.
I mean, you obviously know that. You know, and speaking of this design build concept, and I said earlier it sounds expensive. Remodeling is expensive. And like you heard Uncle Red said, you're going to engineer it before it, you're going to engineer it during it, or you're going to engineer it afterward, but you're going to engineer it. Same concept. Regardless whether you do a project yourself or you hire a professional, it's all got to be done. Whether you know what's got to be done or you're completely ignorant to those facts. Well, with a design build firm, all of it's covered. Every aspect. And yeah, but it's not you doing the legwork. It's you've got a company, a staff with a staff that's helping you do the legwork, like Brooke. Brooke, just incredible position she's got and what she does. And she's kind of an in-betweenster. She's pushing a lot of buttons in a lot of different ways. But regardless, But you've got a whole staff of people like that.
Yeah, architectural designers who are going to, you know, do the massing of the structures, really.
Speaking of that, do your architectural designers work with clients one-on-one?
One-on-one. So you're going to work with either Michelle or Yasmin. In some cases, Marlon, our project developer, actually does a little bit of design as well. But they're great listeners. That's their primary.
It's like a doctor. Doctor can't fix you unless he listens. If you can't talk to him, how in the world can he fix you?
That's right. So they're going to listen. They're going to understand your priorities. I want to talk a little bit about priorities if I can.
Those are
really important. So when someone engages with us, when you're talking to Chris, part of what he's going to do, and before you ever sign a design agreement with us, that's essentially paying us money to design, price, scope, plan out your project so that we can get to a construction contract in good faith and everybody feels good and knows what they're going to be doing. You know, we are going to talk about priorities, and I like to group them in what I call A and B priorities. Real simple. A priorities for a client, as we explain it, is I'm not going to pay for this project unless I get this, whatever it may be. You know, a kitchen with a column fridge and a 48-inch range, and for whatever reason, that's a priority for you. I wouldn't do this project. I wouldn't pay you a dime unless I got this. That's an A. We know that.
What's your end goal? Priority.
Yeah, right. And sometimes it's, you know, you don't have to know the specific thing. You just have to know, I want to be able to entertain for 16 people in this kitchen or this dining room. Just get, we'll do the, we will help you. You just need to be in touch with what is your priority. So sometimes it's a thing, right? I want this range for whatever reason. And that reason's important because
sure.
We may help you think of other ways to get there than this is what we do all the time, right?
Sure.
So that's an A priority. A B priority is that's the handful of things that you really, really want. I mean, you want them, but if your budget comes into question or what you want to invest comes into question, that's going to be the handful of things. Those Bs are going to be the handful of things that you would consider maybe not adding into the project, right? And that gives our team direction. So when you're talking with an architectural designer, it's not the end-all be-all. You can change your A's and B's as you move along.
Now, what's B?
A B is it's the handful of things that if you really, really want them.
Gotcha.
But if they're not going to work for what you're willing to invest or what money you have to put towards the project.
In other words, you ain't got enough money to do all that.
Yeah. That's a simple way to say it.
You're a little short in your back pocket, okay? just putting it bluntly, you need about $40,000 more.
Right. So that's a B. You would consider not having those. But that's a real good way for my whole team to it's a common language. A's, B's, and budget.
I hear you. You know what gets me is in remodeling, a lot of people don't do what they really want because they can't afford it, but yet they put their money in something else that they could have given up to get what they really wanted, you know. And if you're remodeling a kitchen, to me, I mean, just me, there's two very, this is Ray Terry talking. I don't live there, you do, okay? But very important things are your appliances and your layout. Now, the cabinets are iffy because you and I both know you can pay 40 or you can pay 80. Thousand for cabinets. So where can do you have variables in your cabinet selections?
Yeah, we have different levels.
Good, better, best kind of thing.
Exactly. From an RTA, which is a flat pack product, less color selection.
RTA.
Ready to assemble.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. So those are, we call them flat pack. They come in flat pack boxes.
Oh, yeah.
They're easy to ship.
But they're good cabinets.
They are. So that's a common misconception. So you say
no,
the good.
No, man. Those KDs, I call them KDs,
okay.
Knockdowns.
Ah, okay. All right.
You call them RTAs?
RTA,
and I call them KDs. Okay. But there's some knockdowns or RTAs, the assembling cabinets, that are absolutely mind-blowing quality, but yet you're going to pay less money for them because of the assembly process, the labor intensity aspect.
Yeah. And but they're going to have your half-inch plywood box. They're going to have soft close drawers and doors.
Amazing.
Dovetail, you know, details on the boxes. They're great. But it's the manufacturing, the engineering process, which makes them more affordable, right?
Right.
They're gonna come in common sizes, common styles, and common colors.
Sure.
And their shipping and the distribution of these is far less. Yeah.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Glad you brought that. Glad we talked about cabinetry because there again, if you want that Wolf 48-inch range, that to me is a priority. You know, and I went in the kitchen. I got to tell you this. I went in the kitchen with the homeowner and the designers and everything, you know, because they wanted to know how we were going to vent or deal with the range hood.
Yeah.
And they called me. Of course, when they called me, they get a lot more because I'm going to tell you other stuff too. And I looked down to Ryan. I says, are you going to keep this range? He says, well, we're thinking about it. I says, oh, no. I says, one, this range is all gas. There's no 220 50-amp receptacle behind it. So you could not upgrade to a dual fuel. He says, what do you mean? And then I explained it to him. I says, look, for another $5,000, you know, on top of a new range, you can get a Wolf and have something you're going to treasure from now on. And I looked at both of them. I said, you like to cook? We love to cook and entertain.
That's a priority right there.
Right there. I said, so we got to vent it. You need to get a Wolf. And he said, well, we hadn't counted on that. I said, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
And notice I didn't say Viking. I said, Wolf. Okay. There's a reason. I'll leave it at that. I called him back because I had to talk to him about what I suggested the vent hood he buy. For that kitchen and the application and everything with the CFM and all. And he said, oh, and by the way, Ray, we are getting a Wolf. I said, cool.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that too. But I thought about Brooke when you were saying that. You know, that's part of her job. When we're working with clients, she's the one who's got to lead or look into the install manual to make sure that we've got the properly sized vent hood, and we've made mistakes in the past, right? You know, it happens.
May.
There's devils in the details.
Sure.
But that's part of Brooke's job, is to find that, make sure it's right, make sure it looks the way you want it to.
That, and also in planning. When you're planning appliances, and I've said this many times, but goodness gracious, it never ends, because even that, they roughed in the receptacle on that Wolf I just talked about. The electrician did not put the receptacle in the right place. When you're getting high-end appliances, like a Sub-Zero refrigerator, or the high-flute and Electrolux refrigerators.
Gen Air, you name it.
Gen Air, all the high-end, the receptacles have to be here.
Right.
The gas, the water line has to be here, not over there, not behind the refrigerator. It has to be in this area right here. These details are what we're talking about in planning. And invariably, back to the contractor's mindset, they don't check that stuff. And then you get out there. Many times I've gone out to put a range in. I said, it's not going to go back all the way to the wall. Why? Because the receptacle's in the wrong place. Well, why didn't, don't ask me why, because they didn't do their job. You know.
Rework.
Well, can you change it? Well, yeah, I can, but I'm not an electrician. Yeah, I can fix it and have. I've had to move gas lines. I've had to move receptacles because of poor planning.
So many details, so many variables.
Details will kick your butt.
Yes.
They will sink the ship. I mean, really. And what's the hardest part of the job? The last week. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, the finishing's the hardest part. It's the most intense.
I'll
put it that. It's so intense.
It's so detailed. And you're covered. And that's why you finish as you go. You can't finish as you go unless it's planned properly. You can't. How did you know that receptacle's in the wrong place? You don't until you put the range in the hole. Well, it's a little too late then.
Yeah. Yeah. And you learn too, right? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially with new products.
Oh, I screwed up. I think I told a story last week. And I'll share the story. I made a big mistake to a contractor. It wasn't big to the fact that we couldn't make it work. It was big because I thought it was something it wasn't. But he had to put a downdraft in behind a very expensive range, telescoping downdraft.
Okay, yep.
Well, he had one with everything coming out the front. It won't work because the range got to go in there. So it has to come out the back. So I said, I gave you three model numbers that you can put the motor on the back of the telescoping unit. I'm going from memory on the unit I put in over in Foxcroft. Well, I was wrong. The motor doesn't fit back there. There's a boot that comes out the back that you can put the motor in. But anyway, when I found that out, I said, we picked it up in the box. I said, oh, no, I screwed up. And I said, I screwed up. Well, my brain got to working. And I called him back and said, I'm going to be over here Monday morning. We're going to work this out. He got it in Thursday because he called me and says, Ray, we're hooking up the motor now. I says, is everything all right? He said, yeah, it's going to work out fine. Yeah. So I said, good.
Yeah.
I went over there and told him, I said, we can do this, we can do this, we can do that. And luckily, he had a great HVAC company working with him. And when I said great, I meant great because there's very few HVAC companies that like doing downdrafts and will work in detail because to get some of that stuff to work, it's very detailed.
Well, I'll give you an example, right? You know, so that's one of our things. Our HVAC company, when we're planning, we're asking, you know, we go through our Explorer process.
Sure.
Where we're coming out, and one of the first things they ask, what's the model? Can I get a copy of
model
the
number.
Installation
yep.
manual, the PDF? A lot of times we're putting that in. Part of Brooke's job is it's not just the pit. Well, yeah, it's the picture. She's got to get that up there. She's got to have the details. But a copy of the installation manual,
uh-huh.
right?
Every job I've called on, I said, I want the make and model number of what you're picking out because that's going to tell me everything I need to know. I'm going to go online. I'm going to pull up the installation manual, and I'm going to look at all the details. I will, and like you, essentially, y'all do the job before it's ever touched.
At best, yes.
On paper.
Yes.
And I tell my clientele when I go out, I've already put this thing in four times. They say, what do you mean? In my mind, I done put this thing in four times. And I did it again this morning before I got on in the truck to come over here. Because in my mind, I'm gonna do it. Well, that's what remodeling is. You know, to your project managers and what have you out in the field, when they see a plan, they can literally envision that completed project if they're good, and most of them are at that point in time.
And if they can't, they're going to start asking you questions.
Yep.
They're going to ask, and again, beauty of design build, the guy who's going to be charged with starting the job, completing the job, they have an opportunity to talk with their own teammates. Explain to me how this is going to happen.
Right.
Right. So that if they can't think through how, and sometimes the designer will say, you're right. We can't do it that way. We're going to need to alter this. We got to let the client know. We got to give them options. And I'll tell you what, that's a lot better to do on paper than it is in real time. And it happens in real time. This is remodeling.
Oh,
this is a hard sport. I want to say that for all the folks listening out
tough.
There, you know, it.
It can be brutal.
Yeah. You got to try. You got to try. You got to try and plan. You got to do your best. And then the talented field supervisors who have been out there, project managers, however, you know, it's set up. They help overcome those things that might have got missed.
Right.
Right. And try and keep it moving.
And the thing, too, is a teamwork effort, too. And you don't blame. You try not to blame because all you're doing then is just spreading the hurt out, believe me. Don't blame. Just figure out the solution.
Well, kindness and grace goes a long way in remodeling.
Right.
And you'll get there, right? You know, but kindness is really, really important.
What tickled me about this contractor I told you about, the downdraft, he was great. When I looked at him and said, I screwed up. He said, how? How bad? I said, we're going to make it work. He said, we can make it work. I said, we can make it work.
But you're not telling him something he wants to hear.
No,
you're
no.
telling him the truth.
But I want to go ahead and get it out of the way.
You can work with that.
Yeah.
You can work with the truth.
Yep, every time.
If you're just
the truth shall and will set you free. Every time.
Yep. It saves a lot of time, too.
Don't try to BS your way through it.
That was the first two letters that came to my head before you said it, from my brain to your mouth.
And
right
see,
there.
there's a man factor here. Men, correct me if I'm wrong, typically will tell you what they think you want to hear in the construction field. Now, not all your guys are that way because they're your employees. But when you're out in the field and you're around that mentality and that mindset, that's what you get.
There is a mindset out there that you have to only please. We call it face the blunt truths.
Yeah, right.
Face the blunt truths.
If you're going to, no, I've got a saying, but it's not kind to say on the air, so I won't. So anyway, I might push the button on me. Don't want that to happen. 704-227-8986. You're listening to Fox Sports Charlotte about your house every Saturday morning, 8 to 11. The voice of Put Tools in Schools. School's about to start. Let's change some kids' lives, or at least give them options that otherwise they won't have. PutToolsInSchools.org. We'll be back. Welcome back. You know, we talked about a lot today with Paul Kowalski and about remodeling, about construction, about all that. The one thing we really hadn't talked about is money. We hadn't talked about budgets.
Not really. Barely touched on it last segment.
Yeah, just a little
there.
Bit. Yeah. Well, I was building up to it because, see, we only got 15 minutes here.
Okay. All right.
So let's talk about the – all right, when you talk to a client, you qualify them?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about the money concept of this a little bit, because I know for a fact you talk to people about a budget.
Yeah.
And in their budgets, typically, probably over 70% of the time, is too little.
Yeah.
And I'm being conservative on that number, but because most people think unrealistically.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the most unique products you can purchase, right? You can't see it right away. You can't kick the tires. You can't take a test ride. you know. So it's in that regard, and we don't even know what it is in some cases.
Nope.
You're handing me a list of priorities and some ideas that will develop. Again, it starts with the priorities and the budget. So that's really the way we approach it, understanding what you're comfortable investing initially, right? And everybody's different. Sometimes when people see things and they really realize what it is, they say, well, I want to spend this because that feels like the right thing I want to spend, but I'm worried about resale. And why, you know, part of me asks, I'll just be very candid, you know, if you're looking to resell it, why are you investing in it, right? You know, this is for, it's for you and your family to enjoy, to live more in, right? You know, that's our purpose and our cause is to help guide people to living more.
You know, you bring that up, and I want to touch on this a little bit. I've known so many people here in the past 10, 15 years that they're selling their house, and then they upfit it. Why didn't you do it 10 years and enjoy it, 10 years ago and enjoy it? And then you can sell it. Now you're spending all this stress, all this money to sell your house when in reality you didn't really have to do it to sell your house. Not in Charlotte.
Nope.
You don't have to remodel a house to sell it. You don't have to upfit it. You don't have to update it. Not in Charlotte, North Carolina. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right. That dirt is valuable.
I don't care what stage it is or how bad it is, how dated that house is, it's still going to sell. It's still going to sell for top dollar.
You are investing in, you know, when you remodel, my belief is, or when you work with us,
yeah,
right, our client is investing in themselves and their family and how they want to live.
They wouldn't have got you to do the job if they weren't doing that. You're that kind of company.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not the ones that come in there and just for turnover or flipping or whatever. Uh-uh. You're not going to use Paul Kowalski Builders.
No, not for that.
You
not
won't do that. It.
No, it's for you. It's for your family. And sometimes it's a discovery process within that design. So we'll have an idea. We'll have a target of what that costs. You're right. In most cases, it's just below what it probably is going to cost. But you have to produce a design with a team that can show you, I got all your must-haves in here, and I got this many of your, I'll call them Bs, right, or the things
yeah,
you
right.
really, really wanted. Right. Here's what we came up with, and here's the creative solutions of how we got all this in for the given amount. And sometimes people want to see more, too, right? They want to see, well, what if we did this? And now it becomes tangible. Once they understand, they can see it. We provide renderings where they can kind of almost walk through the space and understand what it's going to feel like to have your family and friends over. You know, maybe it is worth it to spend that extra $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 because it's an investment in you and your family, right? You know, what's
yeah.
that money going to do for you sitting in the bank to some degree? Yes, you know, I know you need your security and everything like that, but to some degree, if you're looking at doing this, do it the right way. Do it so that you'll enjoy it. Don't you're skimping out on yourself to some degree.
Why do you live here? Enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy it to the max.
Yep.
And you know, you say you're going to sell it. Well, maybe you won't.
And things, so you mentioned TV earlier. You want to talk about money and some of these misconceptions.
Oh,
and TV is purely entertainment, and I respect that. And it has done things for our industry because it's gotten people interested.
Well, yeah, it's visual.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's created interest, and I appreciate the television for that. But it has set some really unrealistic timelines and money expectations. And, you know, I'll just tell folks, you know, people ask me, well, just talk about money in general, right? You know, I've had folks say, well, we're gonna hold off and see what happens, you know, with the market. Well, I'll tell you this. I've been doing remodeling for 16 years, year over year. An undefeated proposition is that it is going to be more expensive next year than it was the year before. And I will say it's exponential now. Talking about tools and schools, somebody has to do the work with their hands.
Yep.
And there's less of them out there now than ever, and it's at a premium. So if there are some younger folks listening that are interested, it is highly lucrative to be in the trades right now. And guess what?
For the folks, it always has been.
Yeah.
Our TV and marketing in our education system is the problem. The opportunities have always been there. The money's always been there. It's just the image of the industry's not there. And that's what Put Tools in Schools is out to change. Not trying. We're out to change the image. Because that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not talking about anything else. The reality of it, if you go to work in the trades, you make good money. And if you're good at it and enjoying it, you're going to make that much more.
And you're going to be happy.
Yeah, you'll be happy. You'll have purpose. Always, always have something to do. It's a no-brainer. But you get dirty. You got to work. Well, you know what? For some of us, we kind of like that. I don't mind getting dirty. At the end of the day, could you pay me, please? Yep, that's what I said. Hi, ain't it? But, you know, doing good work has value.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, and it's plentiful.
And it's on the front end and the back end,
yeah.
Right? So that design work, when you engage that architect, in a lot of cases, we're getting you more value.
Yes, you are.
Because somebody has taken the time to care for you, listen to you, and use their God-given talents to provide you options, right? And you can't do that by getting a free estimate in most cases, or somebody coming out saying it's going to be this or that. It takes work to really find the right answers.
Well, Paul, you do great work. It's great to meet you.
Yeah.
Great talking to you. And folks, it's PK Builders. Your ratings are top drawer.
Yep.
You got great ratings from Google and all the rating people out there, and that seems to be very popular these days. Oh, get online, rate me. Rate you. Okay, just put 5 stars every time. But PK Builders is what you need to know. Go online and see some of their work. Their award-winning work. You going to be in Rhodey this year?
We're going to be putting several projects in Rhodey this year. Yeah, yeah. We've got a couple years back, 2019 national award-winning project out in Dilworth. And
awesome.
Yeah, and local awards galore. So it's fun. It's fun. I love Rhodey. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and to take that much time and involvement and investment is a big deal, and I love what you've done with that. It takes it, but you got a great team. I thoroughly enjoyed you bringing on the show today and representing NARI, what you've done. And I wish you nothing but the best in future. What do you see for Charlotte in the future? What's your outlook here, big guy?
Outlook, and gosh, I mean, well, this place is growing by the minute, right? You know,
yeah, it's out of control.
Yeah, so high density, but I will tell you this: there's going to be a lot of remodeling, right?
Always will be.
Yeah, yeah.
I remodeled jobs that have been remodeled since I remodeled them. And next week, folks, I got Matthew Query coming in to Job Freedom Home Services Home Inspection. We're going to talk about how new home inspections can really benefit you.
Matt.
You know Matt?
Yeah, from way back when.
Well, great. Matt's going to be on the show, maybe with his cohort. I don't know. And I hope they come in. But we're going to talk about the quality of construction as they've seen it, because there's some issues out there, big time. And not that all new home builders are bad, but there's some out there that we're going to, well, tune in next Saturday. Matthew will bring us up to date.
He might talk about window flashing.
He might, yep. Something to talk about. Paul, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ray.
I appreciate it. Folks, go make it a great week. Find a child, a mentor. Let's help them. They need direction and leadership. Come on back next week. We'll talk to Matthew Query. Go, please, puttoolsinschools.org. Help us. We'll be back here next week with more about your house.
Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah.